Okay. Well, good evening. Apologies if you've come tonight because you read a notice that said this was the I am the bread of life. It's not tonight. I'm not the bread of life, and we'll hear about that next week. That's okay. No, don't worry. Don't worry. Mistakes happen. The reason the words were missing earlier in a song, that was my fault. I set Gordon up wrong on the screen. So mistakes happen, and that's fine. But actually, you've got something... Well, actually, it's not fair to say better. Something different. Tonight, you've got a double act, a tag team of me and Laura. I'm not going to... Laura will tell you about who she is in a bit. But we're going to talk about this idea of back to mission. Now, very quick recap. If you've not been the last couple of weeks, we, as Louis said, we talked about with the idea of back to church, which felt a bit weird because church never went anywhere. It never stopped. It just behaved in a different way. It was more for us to kind of remind ourselves that even though we feel like we've come back to the building, we have a role to play. We always did, always will. And so sometimes it's good to remind ourselves. And last week, we talked about, well, the church, this church specifically, small c, has a vision that we feel God has given us. And what was that vision? And Louise unpacked that beautifully and challenged us to go out and to be a growing, relevant, Christ-like church that serves our community, which is what we want to do. And this week is about back to mission. And this, arguably, is the easiest and simplest message. But with me involved, it probably won't be either. But don't worry, because Laura will be here as well to shine some beautiful light on it. What we want to think about, when I turn this on, is these verses at the end of Matthew, which are bigger up there than there. It says, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, right at the end of the book of Matthew, just before he kind of rises up and goes back to heaven. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And that's Matthew 28. 18 to 20. And it's known as the Great Commission. Very, very famous Bible verses. Most people being in and around church would have heard these before. And really, it's about this idea about going into the world, making disciples, helping people to follow the ways of Jesus, baptizing people not just with water, but also with the Holy Spirit, and teaching people to obey the commands, the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the apostles. It's not complicated. It's a mission where Jesus basically says, guys, you spent 3 years with me. You've seen what I do. Now you go and do it. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to go and chill with the Father. We're going to have a barbecue. We're going to, whatever he's going to do. He says, I'm leaving it over to you guys. Don't screw it up. Don't add things. Don't mess it around. Just keep it as simple as you've seen me. Tell people about me. Bring them to know me. Teach them to live like me. So it's not a complicated mission. The one, I found this quote and I loved it. It says, when we go and tell others about Jesus, we are fulfilling the mission that we are called to finish. And the reason it's called to finish, because this is the mission that Jesus started. This is the mission that God started when he made everything. God made all of creation. He made it all. He went, that's good, it's good, it's good. And then he made humans. He went, oh, that's very good. And then humans were very naughty. And God went, well, that's not very good. But don't worry, because I knew you were going to do that. And I've put something in motion already to solve it. You're just going to have to wait a few thousand years till you understand what that is. So the mission had always been there in the beginning. This isn't something that God wasn't going to do or kind of change his mind one day. And Jesus, God in human form, came down to this earth and he showed us what it meant to go into the world, to love one another, to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about God, about the kingdom, about loving one another, about obeying the commands that God had set. And then he says to his disciples, carry on, keep this going. And so we are called to that same mission. It's simple, but it ain't easy. Not by a long way. Because if it was easy, then right now there'll be 10,000 people. Well, there wouldn't be in this building. But you know what I mean? Like, there'll be no room in this building because the mission was simple. We told people, everyone turns up. The whole world's a Christian. Preaching's no longer needed. We just get to worship and fellowship. Wouldn't that be amazing? By the way, that's what heaven's like. I'm stealing this from another sermon I heard recently, but there ain't preaching in heaven. God knows it all. He doesn't need to hear it again. And we're there seeing it. So we worship and we fellowship. Amazing. So it's a simple mission, but it certainly is not easy. But Jesus commands us to do it anyway. And the reason that they had to wait for the Holy Spirit, the reason the disciples had to, instead of rushing out from that mountain and going, great, you go that way, I'll go that way, Jesus said, whoa, hang on. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus knew that even though the mission might have been simple, it was not easy. In fact, arguably beyond what men and women could do on their own. So Jesus says, you know what you got to do. Now wait for the tools, the equipment, the power, the one, the Holy God, Holy Spirit, who will come, who will enable you to do this mission. And so they did. And we get the time of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came in a powerful way. The Bible describes it as a rushing wind and what looked like tongues of fire. And the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter preached, and the church boomed. But they had to wait. That applies the same for us today. We are going to be Jesus's witnesses. We're going to talk about the life that we learn about from Scripture, from what the Bible tells us, but we don't do it on our own. We could try, but we'll always fall a little bit short. We'll always be lacking in whatever it is. But God says, it's fine. I just need you to go, and I will be with you. I will do it through you. Because if you remember last week, that is the point of the church. You are my body here on earth, and you only do what I equip you to do. Learned a soul survivor of many, many years. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called. Come and do. Go out and go. And I will make sure you have all you need. So really, we've been commissioned to do a very simple mission. Witness about Jesus. Tell the world about the Son of God. About who he is, what he's done for us, what he saved us from, and what we are called onto. But it's not easy. And I'm sure if every single one of you queued up tonight and came and told your story, we would hear that many different stories about your experiences of how you've tried to do that. We're just going to have one of those stories tonight, and that's going to be Laura. It's going to come up. So, Laura, do you want to come and take over? Yeah, just give her a clap. This is big. Well done. Over to you.
Good evening, everyone. I just thought that I would start with sharing a bit about my story and what I faced. So I became a Christian just over 5 years ago at Ignite, which is a service that we used to go to as a youth on a Sunday at Life Church. And this was at the start of year 7. It's a new school, a bit scary. And I found it really hard to talk about my faith with new friends that I was making. And it was hard, I struggled. But as I, started to know them a bit better, I started to talk a little bit more about what I was going through, and that I was a Christian, went to church. And in year 8, they started Pulse at my school, which is something that Royal Youth for Christ work, they come into schools and work missions. And so I went along by myself at first, and eventually invited my friends along, which took a little bit of courage, but we got there in the end. And they kept coming, and then they kept coming another week, and I thought, great, this is awesome. They're learning about Christ, like, wow. And it then didn't happen as much as I was hoping it would anyway. And it was about year 10 that it became a bit harder. They started to become a little bit more judgmental of what I believed in, which is something that I found really hard. And I go to a Catholic school, and that was hard because they'd be so used to that tradition, and I was trying to show them faith in a different light, and it didn't work anymore. And I would openly talk about them with Soul Survivor, which was a festival that we used to go to when it ran, doesn't run anymore. And I'd listen to the songs, and some of my friends were like, wow, this is really catchy, this is a bop. And, I just think, great, this is happening again. Like, they'll enjoy this music and just enjoy what it's saying. And that died down. I was thinking, what am I doing wrong? I thought I'd failed. I was like, this is so, why is this so hard to introduce them to Christ? And it wasn't working. And it took me a while to realize that I can only do part of it. It can't be fully up to me. All we can do as Christians is just try our best to introduce them to Christ. And it may not work, and that's okay. And even though we really want them, our friends, our family, to see what we have experienced and share our journey with them and share our experiences with them, all we can do is try. And I think that is the most important thing. It says in the parable of the sower, which is Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 to 8, how the seeds were planted on rocky places and couldn't grow in that place, but some of them were scattered on good soil where they could grow. And that's what it is. As Christians, we are called to plant the seed in people's lives. And it may not grow, and it may take time. It's just one day at a time, and it may not be we may not be the right person for that job. It may be someone else who comes along the way, several years down the line, that may be better for that job. And so God can grow, and that seed can continue to grow. And I'd love to be able to stand here and say that all my friends have become Christians, and it's all great, and they come to church every week, and do all this, but realistically, that's not the case yet, hopefully. But even though it can be hard to face that fact, as we really want them to meet with Jesus, that may not happen yet, but you never know, could later on. And all we can do in the meantime is just trust God and know that he's got it, and that, you never know, a few years later, a few years on, it could happen. In Luke chapter 13, verse 18 to 19, it compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed and how a tiny little seed can grow into something beautiful, like a tree. And that's exactly what Christianity is. A small seed that's planted in our lives that can turn into something beautiful, a relationship with the King, and that's just so special. And, you know, we can help people plant that seed in their lives, and may grow a little bit, and then someone else will come along and help grow that seed a little further. And it takes time, and all we can do as Christians is pray about it and talk to other people about it and see how they can help. And that's just what it's all about, really. So I'll pass back over to Dan. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. And Laura wanted to share that, wanted to share part of that, because it's that, like I said, it's a reality, isn't it? You know, we could have rolled someone out, we could have rolled up and gone, here's how I made 20 people Christians yesterday, how many did you do? And that's wonderful, and we should celebrate those stories, but I think if we know actually the difficulty is that if that was true, if we were all making that many Christians all the time, then church would be packed out and this would be easy and the Christian world. But the reality is we know it's hard. And it's hard because the human mind is so shut off to the truths of God. But that doesn't mean that God can't and that God won't. And I think one of the best things that Jesus did, as an example, is he literally shared his life with the disciples. And everything, like, he didn't keep things in. You know, the only time Jesus had alone time is when he went to pray to his Father. And he'd often say to him, I'm going to go and pray to the Father. I'm going to go and do this. The rest of it, he was with them all the time. Even when there was that awkward moment when they're like, Jesus, your mum and your brothers are outside. And he went in front of everyone. Mum and brothers? Oh, who are they? It's like, you're my mother. You're my brother. And they're probably thinking, no, actually, you know, your actual mum is outside. It's really disrespectful, Jesus. Right? He was just like, guys, like, you are it. You are everything to me. We spend every part of our lives together. And I think one of the biggest witnesses we can do in this world right now is be real about who we are. And that messy life that we all have somewhere, no matter how clean and polished it might look on the outside, we all know that underneath, the more people get to see the reality of Jesus in our lives, in the good, in the bad, and the ugly, the more that message speaks through. I think sometimes there's a danger that we go to churches, we go to events, we go to whatever, and everyone's got the Christian smile and everyone's like, oh, it's great, everything's wonderful. Well, actually, underneath, what they want to say is, actually, right now, I'm really struggling, or this happened, or I'm really angry, or that person over there has really upset me, and I don't know how to tell them, and I have to go and smile and give them a Christian handshake, or whatever is going on. I'm not saying get annoyed at each other, sorry, don't misinterpret this. This isn't like an excuse to go and have an argument, but it's about being real. It's about being honest, because, well, I think that's what Jesus did. You know, when he was annoyed with someone, he let him know. Like, his best mate said the wrong thing, and he called him Satan. Now, I mean, I'm not saying go that far, but it's this reality, isn't it? Our messy lives may seem bad to us, but God looks at you and says, no, but you're beautiful. Do you see what I'm doing in your life? Do you see this moment here? Do you see what's coming up? You don't even know what's around the corner. You don't even know what I've got in store for you. Let the world see. Jesus said, be like a light, shine. Don't hide yourselves. We have no other mission. On the grand scheme, like, I know churches pick their own kind of subvisions, and we've got that sort of stuff, but when it comes to Scripture, when it comes to the gospel, there is no other mission. And that is because there is no other name that we are to proclaim but the name of Jesus. I had an amazing sermon randomly dropped on my YouTube this week. In the office, I'll have YouTube in the background, worship music, and every now and again, it will jump to a track which happens to be a church service somewhere and is worship on. And usually it's background. I don't pay a lot of attention. Sometimes the sermon's coming, I'll be honest. Sometimes I then skip because I'm just like, oh, so annoyed. But this guy, when he eventually got going, which took him about 10 minutes, but when he eventually got in, he just blew me away with some of the stuff he was saying. If you're interested, I'll point you towards the link. But one of the things he kept on and on about, and I was like, I'm preparing this, thinking this is so true, is he was reminding the church that Jesus is who it's all about. It's all it's ever been about. From the very beginning, the Bible has pointed towards the coming of Jesus. And from the point of Jesus, it's talked about who Jesus is and what he's doing. And once Jesus went back to heaven, the Bible has pointed back about what Jesus did and how we should do that more going into the future. There is nothing else. There is no other mission. There's no other reason to live and exist in this world apart from Jesus. We can talk about amazing preachers, amazing worship leaders, amazing whatever, but they're not Jesus. We can talk about amazing churches, but they're not Jesus. If it is not about Jesus, then what are we doing? What is the point? It's a simple mission, church, but it's not easy. There's no plan B. I mean, I used to think that plan B was because Noah's Ark failed. When I was little, I used to think, like, you hear about Noah's Ark, and if you don't know his name, I hate, by the way, if this seems simple to you, and like you heard it all before, that's fine. Hear it again. I never want to leave someone behind because they don't understand. Noah's Ark, great story in the Old Testament where God says, I'm unhappy with the world. I'm going to flood it. I'm going to basically wipe it all off apart from this one family and an incredible amount of animals, which you're going to get into a boat, but don't worry, I'll sort that, says God. And he starts again. But then after that, I remember as a child thinking Sunday school, but he did that. They got out of the boat, they started again, and then we've still got sin, and I've still got to say sorry. So it didn't work. So plan A must have failed. So was Jesus plan B? And as I got older, I came to realize, no, Jesus was always plan A. Noah's Ark was pointing towards what God was going to do. And also, if I'm honest, I sometimes wonder, was that God saying, this is what I could do completely to the entire world over and over, but I don't. I choose not to because I have a higher purpose. So if Jesus dying on the cross to take our punishment for our sin is plan A and always has been and always will be, and that is then what Jesus says, go and tell the world about me, go and preach that gospel, then why do we sometimes get caught up in plan Bs? Why do we sometimes start thinking that, oh, but hang on, I need to get this youth program sorted, and oh, what about this and this better? And God's like, that's all really nice and that's fluffy, but it's not plan A. What happened to plan A? Tell them about Jesus, not tell them about Xbox, Dan. I am a geek. I know I don't look it. I know you look at me and think, Dan, you're just too cool. I am actually pretty geeky. And I watch a geeky show. And I know a few people in this room also might recognize this show. Yeah, Louise is nodding. This is from the newest Star Trek. Star Trek Discovery. I won't give it away, because I know you're all dying to rush out then, sorry. But I do have to do a little bit of spoilers. So if you are currently watching this, then feel free to put your hands over your ears. This guy, whose name, this is not the actor's name, this is the character's name, so I'm going to mispronounce it, I'm sorry, but let's call him Mr. Sahil, because that's how they refer to him. He is someone that I'm watching this geeky show, just chilling at home, and there's a moment in this episode that just blew me away, and it was like God was speaking through it. What happened was, very brief update, Star Trek Discovery is about the spaceship, Star Trek Discovery, and they're in like the normal time, they're kind of before all the old stuff. Anyone watch Jean-Luc Picard and that sort of stuff? No. So before that, in the timeline, you've got Discovery. In fact, before Captain Kirk, you've got Discovery. And then something happens, time, wormhole, magic. They're now 1,000 years in the future. They have come through. And this, you're going to see an officer called Michael Burnham. It's a woman called Michael. That's fine. And she is waiting for her starship to follow her through time to find her. They are 1,000 years ahead. And the biggest thing she discovered 1,000 years on from her timeline is that the Federation, Starfleet, what she used to work for and believed in and wanted to bring peace to the galaxy, has all but disappeared. Things have happened, stuff's gone a bit awry, people fell out, bit of fighting, and it's all but gone. And she's on a mission to try and find what's left of it. And she comes across a starbase, one of the main starbases that she expects to find the Federation. And here, she finds Mr. Sahil. Mr. Sahil has got up every morning for 40 years, made his bed magically disappear with technology, made a desk magically appear with other technology. He sat down at his desk, he's turned on a screen to scan for starships, and he sat there every day waiting for a Starfleet officer, for something to come, even though Starfleet is all but gone. And we're going to hopefully, so we need a bit of volume, if that's okay, on the sound desk. We're going to watch a scene where this officer, Michael Burnham, from 1,000 years in the past, has appeared, and he gets to have a conversation with her. Are you ready? I don't think the volume's on, because there would be noise. I'm going to run it back and try again. Are we? So try again. Here we go. Yeah, there we go. So You all watch a bit of Star Trek now, just saying. The thing that grabbed me about that, and maybe you're not picking up what I'm trying to put down here, but is and I've just put these lines up. This guy has waited for 40 years because he didn't believe he was worthy to raise the flag because he wasn't a commissioned officer. His dad was, but he wasn't because no one had come along. And the officer, Michael Burnham, comes along and says, Mr. Sahil, you are as much a Starfleet officer than the rest of us because you have done your duty. You have kept to the mission. And then you have this wonderful thing that hope is a powerful thing because sometimes it's the only thing. Our numbers are few, but our spirit is undiminished. Church, this is where we stand today. We are commissioned by Jesus to be his hands and feet, to be his voice, to be his gospel. Sometimes to some people to maybe be the only Bible they might read to begin with. You don't need to be special. You don't need to have had a special prayer or to stood on a platform. You are commissioned. You are as much part of this mission. And even sometimes it might feel hopeless. You might say, "What churches are dying. People don't care. People are turned off." Like Laura's story about they just don't want to know. And in fact, it's not they don't want to know. Now they argue back against it and they think it's a whole bunch of rubbish and I'm struggling. But the Bible says sometimes the only thing we hold on to is hope. Jesus even said to his disciples way back, I've lost me. Is it being clicked off? Can we go to the next slide, please, Gordon? That'd be okay. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the Lord's harvest field. And that's been the way since the beginning. There's always not been enough people to go into the world to tell the rest of the world about the kingdom of God and about Jesus. But it doesn't change the mission. The mission didn't get downgraded because we couldn't manage it. It didn't get kind of simplified. I mean, it's already pretty simple, but God has said, this is plan A, and this is what we will do. Go into the world. Tell people about me. Bring them to know me. Baptize them, not only with water, but let the Holy Spirit come into their lives and do his work as well. We have one faith, one Lord, one mission, one name, who is Jesus. The Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The difference is, will that happen now? Or will that happen when he comes in his glory at the end of the day on Judgment Day? Because it will happen. There is no doubt in that. Jesus simply says to this, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God had one sermon to preach to this world, and that sermon was his Son. That sermon was Jesus, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And again, I'm nicking this from the stuff I heard in this sermon of the week. But if we preach anything but that, then we are saying, God, that's great, but I've got a better message to give. We don't have a better message. So we go out and we do that. How that looks for you will be different in each situation. For you, that might be physically sitting down and talking to people about your faith. For some people, that might be in actions, loving people in your community, going and feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting those who are in prison. For some of you, it might be far-flung missions to the other ends of the world. For some of you, it might be your next-door neighbor or even in your own home. But whatever you do, however you do it, go with that simple mission. Preach Jesus. Show Jesus. And the rest, God will do. So let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you, Lord, that you not only gave us a mission plan, but Lord, but you gave us the perfect example in your Son of how to do it. And we get to point to that example, Lord. Father, when we struggle, where we find this difficult, where we fail, where we fall down, where we get scared or worried or upset or whatever it is, remind us that you give us your Spirit and that he will fill in the gap. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to fill this place, to come upon us in power like you did in Scripture, Lord, remind us that it is not us, but it is you. That it's always been you, and there's nothing else that we can preach or point towards but you. Lord, I pray that you will move every single one of us to go into whatever situation that is, to be the church, to go with the vision, and to stay on mission. Amen.